Good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Hey, welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. You know what we're going to do today? We're just going to visit, talk a little bit. We're going to talk about prophecy, and we're going to talk about current events. With the events, let me define it as the historical events that have taken place this week. Then we see prophecy being fulfilled. There are many things that must come to pass, but there are certain benchmarks that when they come to pass, then it begins to solidify, and we can align God's Word. That's why it's so important that you study God's Word, whereby when you see these benchmarks, you recognize them, and you're not asleep. You're awake, and God's Word jumps to life for you. It lives in your own life as you begin to see these things and you see God's hand in it as He transforms a troubled, mixed up, cruel world, age, into a millennium whereby there will be teaching. It's happening as we see it. The events consummate the end of this age. Today we can take another benchmark. Today we can move one step closer, and that's what we're going to do. Paul, who was an excellent teacher, told us in 1 Thessalonians, and 1 Thessalonians as well as 2 Thessalonians basically has to do with the subject is the return of the Lord, which is to say the second advent. So we're going to pick it up in the 5th chapter. We're going to ask a word of wisdom from our Father, and let us align current events with biblical prophecy. That way you know what the next event should be that you're looking for. In other words, when you see one thing come to pass, you simply go to the next step and begin looking for it. And that way you can align prophecy with current events. So with that word of wisdom from our Father, let's take 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The subject is how you can tell when the time or the season is right for the return of Christ. Okay, let's pick it up with verse 1, and it reads in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." Hey, you know about the seven seals, you know about the seven trumps. I don't really have to write you any more about it. But then he gives us a very interesting clue. Verse 2. "For yourselves know," and I would ask you, did you know? Do you know? "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, when would you least expect the Lord to return if you were in the dark? The answer, of course, is when you thought he was already here. If there is a Messiah or a Lord appearing on earth claiming to be the Lord of Lords, and he's a fake, and you believed him, you're certainly not going to be looking for the true Lord to return, because you're going to think he's already here. Bad mistake. All right? Then he gives us the clue for which we're going to take for this week. Verse 3. "For when they who? The world. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them," the world, "as," he's going to tell you what it's like, "as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not," repeat, "not escape." Now, I'm going to tell you something. Of course, we're talking about the birth of the new age. He's not only giving a clue as to what the next step will be, but he's telling you what it escorts in. But here he says it's going to be like as travail. Now, some of the ladies that are mothers could tell you that that's anything but pleasant. Of course, the results thereof, that beautiful child is pleasant, and so it shall be when the millennium age enters. But there's a lot of pain. A man can't even describe the pain that goes with travail of childbirth. And God could not think of any other thing that he could liken the pain of the deception that he speaks of in other places than the travail of woman, which was placed upon woman, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, at thy conception, with that having partaken of that satanic tree, that he likens the same for the pain that will come forth at the deception. Now let's continue on. Certainly I don't have to tell you that you have heard a historical, first time in 100 years, first time since Christ walked the streets of Jerusalem, you have heard between, that is to say, after the fig tree is planted, peace. It's been war, rumors of war. And the rumors of war still go on. It is, Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, as we discovered that it would be in Luke chapter 21. And certainly, though there is much talk of peace, peace, then comes sudden destruction. What is destruction? It's the destroyer. Who is the destroyer? Satan, all right? Cast to the earth. Don't go to sleep on me in this generation, because we have moved into a new benchmark that things are going to be quite interesting, as they always have been, but the pace will increase. Mark this day, for nothing will ever be the same as the time sequence picks up of prophecy being fulfilled, and let it encourage you to stay in tune to your Father's word. Now let's go on a moment. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Naturally, as it's stated, Christ comes as a thief in the night. But you're not in darkness. You're not in the night. All right, you got it? But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, not night, the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Beloved, you listen to me. Just as the type was given to Joshua when the day was lengthened or he would have lost the battle, then the day is lengthened for you in a different manner, that you are a child of light, which is to say Christ, and there is no night. Therefore, we have one day in this event that concerns the consummation of this age, that the light shines brightly, whereby you're able to see each event with open eyes and understanding, open minds, to know and to understand what time it is, what season it is. If you do understand his word. Therefore, verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That means to watch very seriously the events that transpire. What does it mean, as others sleep? Stupor. They're expecting to fly away from the chapter that just precedes this. And actually, it is so simple. The subject carried forth in that fourth chapter about meeting the Lord, the subject is, where are the dead? Paul would state in that fourth chapter, in the 13th verse, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You're supposed to be a Christian. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, he continues on, and all those that are asleep are with him. And they turn that into a rapture doctrine. And how the pain will be when they realize that they have worshipped the so-called rapture Messiah. The word rapture is not in the Word of God. It is a false teaching that began in the year 1830. You're supposed to stay awake and stay in the day. You don't need some man to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to know it yourself from His Word. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. You're a child of the day. In other words, we have one long day from here to the end whereby we win the battle, and there is not darkness spiritually. For you see that lightness and truth. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. In other words, let us put on the gospel armor and let us have it on and in place. What for? If you have your faith out in front of you as a shield, your faith turns every fiery dart that any false messiah or any group of people wish to cast, because God's Word will stand on its own, for it is real. It is happening. Christianity is not a religion, but a reality that is ongoing day by day, as we are always in the day. One more verse, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. It's not going to be for us, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, He is the Savior. That is His title. And He saves literally those that love Him, those that are in Him. And just as the three Hebrew children walked in the fiery furnace, you can't be singed by the wrath of this evil one that shall come, by his lies that will deceive those that wake from their stupor to see a supernatural entity saying, I am Messiah, come to rapture you away. Rather, you will have on the gospel armor. What does it say in the 6th chapter of Ephesians? What do you put the gospel armor on? To fly? No, to stand. So make the stand and make it for Christ. Be somebody. Act like royalty. Act like a Christian soldier that knows and understands the hour, the time, the season. And be ready for the deception that, in my opinion, is very soon upon us. No man knows the hour, the day, the moment. That's what it means. No one knows the second, would be a better way of putting it. But as it is written in the book of Daniel, in the end days, wise people that are of the day would understand the Word of God, would understand the season, whereby you don't have a moment that will throw you or pull you off. I want to go back, if I may, where he said, for when they shall say peace and safety, they've already said that. It happened this week. And I don't have to say what week, because this is a current event that will not be replayed through time, but it happens to be in September. As a matter of fact, we're speaking on the Civil New Year. And that's not January the 1st, okay? For certain people. The people that dwell in Jerusalem right now. It is the Civil New Year, Rosh Hashanah. And it happened in Jerusalem that the peace stemmed forward with the West Bank and involved that great city, that even the day was lengthened for, or during the time for Joshua, during his reign. Jericho. Remember the walls? Then don't let walls of deception surround you. Make them fall, make them tumble by understanding the Word of God. As you see these magnificent prophetic benchmarks come to pass in your very lifetime. You know, he told us when they say that, well, we've come to that benchmark. Oh, Pastor Murray, you don't understand. Men have been saying we're getting very close since the beginning of time. Hey, don't show your ignorance, friend. The parable of the fig tree, 1948, happened only one time. It was prophesied in the scriptures that it would happen. It did. And anyone that stated you were near the end before that time, before that generation, simply were mistaken. There can be no doubt, and it is already an established fact concerning the fig tree in the year 1948, because both the good and the bad fig were planted in Jerusalem in that year. You're there, friend, whether you want to realize it or whether you recognize it or not. You're there. And of course, if you happen to be one of those that are asleep, it wouldn't matter how much we went into it. Just sleep on. You'll wake up soon. But for you of the day, listen to your Father's word. What is it going to be like? As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That's pain, my friend. It's not something you would sleep through. Ask your wife, ask your mother, if she was able to sleep through, and I'm talking natural now. I guarantee you, when the labor pain started, she was awake by them. She could feel that pain. She was very aware of it, and they shall not escape. That pain is coming over the whole world. Well, what can we do with that then, if that is the next benchmark? Well, we go in prophecy where this is stated in another place. I would recommend highly that we go where Christ was asked himself, how is it going to be at the end, and when will these things come to pass? And his first rule was, as you learn from Luke 21, we're going to go to Mark 13, but Luke 21 should be real fresh in your mind. I'll go to there. Be careful that no one deceive you. That was the first warning. For deception will come, and it will be extremely painful. And that very deception itself is what triggers, and I'll document it here in a moment, the labor pains. He has said the same thing when he was asked, when are these buildings going to be destroyed on Mount Zion after Antichrist sits there? And when do you return? And he said, many will come in my name claiming to be teachers of Christ. That's to say, preachers. And they're going to deceive many. Why? They're going to lead them to the false Messiah through certain doctrines. And you of the day need not that I tell you. And he said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't worry about it. The time won't be yet. What's the opposite? Peace, peace, peace. He didn't say when they obtain peace. He said when they cry peace. When they say peace. And you this week have heard on national television, unless you're asleep, over and over, an historical event, the first time in 100 years, they have cried peace. What makes it important? Because it has to do with Jerusalem. That's the subject of the peace treaty, so-called. Let's pick it up in Mark 13, verse 8, and stay awake for me. Verse 8 reads, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places. We got plenty of that. And there shall be famines. This famine is for, not for food, but is for hearing, as it is written in Amos chapter 8, along about verse 8. The famine in the end times is not for food, but for hearing the word of God, the truth. And troubles. Now, how sharp are you? Then wake up real good for me for the rest of this verse. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Well, what? Sorrows? Well, I'll tell you what, that's kind of a bad translation. And we could say it is very definitely a bad translation, but God likes for those that are asleep to sleep on. But you that are awake are supposed to know and understand. You're supposed to dig a little bit. So for you that are of the day, and I want you that are of the night, just close your eyes and ignore this. You're not supposed to know. You got it? But for those of you that seek the truth, then open your eyes and see what this word sorrows. Odin. Have you ever heard that word? Odin. Pull it up on the screen in the Greek and let's understand what it means. A woman that's having a child knows what Odin means, though she may not speak Greek. It's akin to 3601. A paying or throw, especially of childbirth. And that's all I need right there. Of childbirth. Labor pains. Throes of labor.